As you know, we've been doing a series called The Good Book. We have this message and we have one other before we're finished with this series. We've tried to pick out different things that we think are, you know, just play a significant role in us understanding what God's plan for us is, what it is that he wants us to do, and, you know, the place that he has in our life. And so we went through different things in the Old Testament and different things in the New Testament. Today, we're going to look at the book of James. Now, there's so much stuff in the book of James. I'm really going to just stick with the very first, like, you know, 12 verses or something like that in the book of James, somewhere around in there. So we're not touching all of it by any stretch of the imagination, but just want to give you an idea, an indication of who wrote the book of James, what, you know, what they were dealing with when he wrote and things like that. So if you're still learning your way around the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament starts with Genesis, and the New Testament starts with Matthew, and James is in Matthew. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. All right, so if you get to James, James chapter 1. So if you would open up your Bibles there. Oh, can anybody take a shot at who wrote the book of James? James, you guys, you're on your way to being Bible scholars. And so that's all you needed to know to pass the test anyway. Yes, and James was the half-brother of Jesus. And, you know, historically, it looks like, you know, what a lot of church historians believe is that before, you know, there was a period in time where James did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Matter of fact, he thought his half-brother had lost his mind. James was a half-brother of Jesus, thought he had lost his mind. Said, you know, I don't know what's happened to my brother, man, but he is crazy. And so, but later on, after the crucifixion and everything like that, James believed in Jesus. What do you think had to take place for James to believe that Jesus, his half-brother, really is the Son of God and the Messiah? Yeah, he saw him after he saw him crucified, or after, you know, the crucifixion. He saw him raised from the dead. He's like, maybe I need to rethink this. Maybe you're not crazy after all. And so he became a believer. He was very influential, not just in the church, but like, if you know anything, I love history, but there's a Jewish historian named Josephus. And he was not a Christian. Josephus wasn't a Christian, but he wrote different about different people in Jewish history. And James was one of the people he mentioned. He called him James the Just. So his impact and influence was so significant that even he was mentioned, as well as Jesus. He was mentioned by Josephus in that. Now, James wrote this letter, and he wrote it, you know, we think sometime, you know, around, give or take a few years, around 40 AD, within a few years of that, which probably means it probably happened, you know, 10, 12 years after the resurrection. And so at this time, there was still a significant amount of the church was made up of converted Jews that had converted to Christianity. And so there were a lot of Jewish people that were undergoing hardship. They were going through very hard times at this time. So he writes this letter, and he starts right from the very beginning dealing with them about what happens when you're going through a hard place, and what are things that God does in you and in your life when you're in a hard place and a hard season. Now, let me ask you this question right now. How many of you are in a hard season right now? Raise your hand if you're in a hard season right now. How many of you have been in a hard season before? See your hand? How many of you determined you're, no matter what question I ask, you're not gonna raise your hand? Let me see your hand right there. Okay, yeah. So anyway, now I know some of you are out there, and but you raise your hand for that one for whatever rebellious outfit. Anyway, so, but James is talking about that. He's encouraging them. So this was a letter written to them, and even though it was written to, he starts out with the 12 tribes of Israel and that kind of thing. Now, it wasn't just written to them, but it's written to us. Believers today that are here at Cedar Point and churches all over the city, all over the state, all over the country, all over the world. This was written to Christ followers. And so in James chapter 1, he says this right here, verse 1, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, pray that God will take them away from you, and he will quickly do that. Does anybody's Bible say that right there? But let's just be honest for a minute, okay? How many of us have maybe expected that? I know it's not just me. I know some of you are like really spiritual, but I know there's more of you like me that like at times you pray to that, okay, God, just remove this from my life. So how many of us have maybe thought that before? Yeah, man, I mean, you know, and again, for those of you that are paying attention, man, all of us. And so he said, when troubles of any way, or let's see, he said, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. I always do that. No, I don't, man. I'm like, this stinks. I don't like it. I hate it. Why is this so hard? Consider an opportunity for great joy. So I have to change the way I think about hard places in my life. He said, for you know that when your faith is tested, and right now, if you're in a hard place, one of the things that's taking place is that your faith is being tested. It's being tested. And we'll look later on is that in all likelihood, what you're in is not something that God has done to you. It could be the result of just the fact that you're in a broken world, or you're dealing with broken people, and you and I are one of those broken people that we have to deal with, or, you know, that there's an enemy that the devil, you know, sometimes he's strategic and attacks the place that we're in. So for whatever reason, it may not be necessarily something that God has done to you or has, you know, initiated, but he can use this moment. And so your faith is being tested, and it says, what happens is that when your faith is tested, for you know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect. Everybody say perfect. Now this is, some of you are going to look at your spouse and go, you really need this message. I just want you to be perfect. But that's not the kind of perfection it means. It doesn't mean flawless. It means matured. You're getting perfected. We're growing up. We're maturing. And we have to view spiritual growth the same way we do physical growth. That if you were, you know, if you were born 20 years ago and we've not seen any maturity in you physically, we would think something's clearly not okay here. They're not healthy. Well, the same thing's true spiritually, that spiritually we should be growing. That there may be things that bothered us 10 years ago that we're able to push through right now. Or maybe they don't even bother us at all. But that's, you know, I will tell you probably the area that, whether I'm maturing or not, shows up the most is my marriage. That there are things in there that, man, Tina and I, you know, I've shared before, I'm from Oklahoma. And proud of it, I'm as Okie as they get. Call me an Okie, I'm not insulted, I'm high-fiving you. You know what I mean? And she's from California, and she was the poster child California girl. And like, man, those folks think different. I'm just telling you right now. And so we would have these conversations that sometimes would become passionate and sometimes would become heated. Didn't happen very often, usually no more than once a day. But the thing about it is that, you know, we would just go through those moments that we would have that. And I mean, the only thing that was missing was I just needed to be out in the middle of the yard with the wife beater on and her screaming at me and the police pulling up. I mean, it was just one of those things that it was just, you know, this arguing and that kind of thing. Well, it's, you know, the longer we got married, I talked about my parenting last week and somebody shamed me. They like, you know, so I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I'm talking about my marriage today, but anyway. But as time went on, things that we used to just like really tussle over that we don't, you know, that they're just, a lot of times we just laugh at now. Now, every now and then something will come up and I'm like, we still got it. You know, we can still fight like that, you know. But but not nearly as often, not nearly as often. And it's just an area where we've just, because we've stayed in it, we've grown. And so, and we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But he says, so anyway, he said, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. One of the things that God does here is God grows us here. He's going to grow you in your hard place. That may be why he won't let you quit your job, leave your marriage, change families. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, is that there's, even though he may not have initiated it, he's growing you in this. There's a work that he's doing in you right now that he's growing in you. I talked about this with Pastor Aaron. You know, Pastor Aaron, he's really worked on just, he's done some like triathlons and that kind of thing. And I've seen pictures. I don't go to them. But the thing is that, and then like just recently he ran a marathon. And I mean, it was like a legit marathon. I get tired thinking about it. But he'd been training for the longest time, and like a few weeks out, he hurt his leg. And so I would have waited till the marathon and hurt my leg that day, but like 15 or 20 yards into it. But he hurt his leg a few weeks out, and the truth of the matter is that he still ran it. But the reason why is because he had put himself through some things on purpose so that when that day came, he'd never entered a marathon like that before, but he could even push past the pain and discomfort because he had built his endurance. And so the truth of the matter is, man, our endurance is so connected to so many things that God wants to do in our life. And for me and you, sometimes that as we go through things, the reason why we're not immediately taken out of it is because there's a work. I know some of you feel like that baby does, but anyway, there's a work that you know, some of you like, oh man, please make him stop. So there's a work that God has to do in us, you know, in that you know, we have to push through that, and so you know, God grows us here. He grows us here. So he's growing you right now in our hard place. He grows us. And so just that awareness, you know, of what God wants to do in our life, that sometimes, you know, that his first thought is not, I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to remove you. I'm going to remove you from this. And so he wants to grow you right now. He wants to grow you. And so, you know, it's, hey, God, get me out of it. And his response is no. Your faith is being tested so it can grow. And a lot of times this is a place that God chooses to grow us. This is a place he chooses to grow us, that he wants to do something in you specifically. And so, hey, by the way, let me say this, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody like that. It's okay that if your kids are in here and they're making noise, that's okay. It's okay. In other words, that was not said as a poke at anybody else. I'm making fun of me. And so, you know, sometimes I know people are like, oh my gosh, is this guy ever going to quit talking? You know, and so just in that, just know that, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, he's getting on to me. Heavens no. We love kids. We're glad your kid's here. And so, anyway, your faith is being tested so it can grow. So that's what God does in us. Well, let's keep reading right there. So verse 4, he says, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, and this is how he develops our endurance. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Look at verse 5, and he says this, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So here's the second thing that takes place in this that God wants to do, is that he wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us wisdom for this place that you're in. Again, you know, and I don't think I'm that much different than most people. I think the things that I deal with, sometimes people say, man, you know, that just really spoke to me today. And in my mind, I'm like, that's because we probably struggle with the same stuff. But in that, you know, a lot of times, because my prayer is not, hey, what am I supposed to do in this place? My prayer is, how do I get out of this place? Right? I mean, but there's a work that God's doing in us. Now, I want to go back to point one for just a minute and say this. One of my favorite parables is the prodigal son. And in that, in that, you know, it's a story that Jesus told, and he talked about a father that had two sons, and the younger son came up and said, I want my stuff. And so it says that he went into a distant land. And so when he went into that distant land, he was there, and then, you know, after a while, life got hard. I think it's interesting that the father in the story had the means to go rescue his son, but he didn't. And that was because, for whatever reason, that his son was in a place that the only way that he could grow was not in father's house, but in the distant land. And if the father would have went and rescued him, he would have cut short what God was wanting to do in his life at that point. Now, I don't want to be in a place where the only place I grow is in the distant land. I don't want to be in the place where the only time I pray is when life's hard, or the only time I lean into God is when I'm really going through a difficult place. I don't want to be in that place in my life. I want to be committed to this being a regular part of my life. But sometimes, you know, our first thought is the reason why God won't let you leave that job you're in is because that's the place he has to grow you. He can't grow you in that good job that you want yet. He has to grow you in that hard job. The reason why he's, you know, not separating you from that situation or those circumstances or that thing you're going through is not because he likes to see you struggle or hurt, not because he enjoys the discomfort or pain in your life, but the reason why he does that is because that's the place you're going to grow. You're going to grow there. And so I'm going to grow there. So to understand that what God does in that hard place is he grows us, but then the very next thing he says was, he said, whenever you need wisdom, in other words, that means, what am I supposed to do? They said, ask God. Because here's the thing, you know, some things we go through are kind of normal everyday life things, but there's other things that we go through that they're new and unique. The season of life that you're in, whatever you're dealing with right now, may be something that you've never dealt with before. So you don't really know what to do. And, you know, and you have people in your life and in your circle, and they're always, you know, always willing to give you advice and to tell you what to do. And they may have never been through it before, but they know exactly what you're supposed to do. You know, exactly what you're supposed to do. Never been married, but they know what you should do. Never had kids, but they know what you should do. Never had a job, but they know what you should do. I think I'll stop. But when they're not around, we need guidance. And so, you know, the one that wants to give us wisdom is God. And sometimes the place that you're in is not a place you've ever been in before. And so you need wisdom that's unique to that. Lord, what do I do with this? What do I do in this moment? How do I respond to this? In 2005, my dad had been, you know, for a few years leading up, he'd been struggling with heart disease. And if you've been around here before, you've heard this part of my story, but some of you have not heard it. And so we were still living in New Mexico. My parents lived in Verdigris, the place that I grew up. And so I'm an only child, and my dad's in ICU. And he spent a few months on a respirator. And so I'm on Sunday, as soon as church is over, I'm walking out of church and I'm driving. It's almost 500 miles from where I was to here. So I drive here so I could be with my mom was in the early stages of Alzheimer's. And so I had no brothers and sisters, just me. And so I would drive, and then on stay with them till Wednesday. We'd go down to the hospital, spend the day down there. And I would ask the doctors, is he going to get better? And they go, we don't know. Says, is he going to get worse? We don't know. And that was the day when I realized why they use the word or the slogan, they're practicing medicine. And so, in fairness, you know, there's things they're doing the best they can. They know way more than I do, but they just, sometimes they just don't know. I get that. And so Wednesday, I'd go by the hospital and see him again and take off and show up for the Wednesday night service and do my youth service. This went on for months. And after a while, you know, you kind of realize they're going to keep him in the hospital forever. And so, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've never been here before. And you know, I would talk to people that I knew loved me, I knew loved them, but you know, even though they'd kind of been through something like that, their circumstances aren't the same, their situation's not the same. And I was struggling with this. You know, we were called to honor our parents, and when we're under their household, we do that by our obedience. We move out of their house, we do that by the way that we live our life. And then when they get older, we do that in how we care for them. And so I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so it was creating a lot of anxiety on me. And so Philippians 4:6 says this, it says, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I remember praying this prayer. I would start out with this. I'd never prayed a prayer like this before. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know you do, and I'll do whatever that is. You want me to move here? Do you want me to move him with us? Is his care so great that he'd really be better off in a place that provides long-term care? I don't want to do that just because it's easier. But I don't want to not do it because I'm letting guilt motivate me. I just want to do what's best for him. Whatever's best for him, that's what I want to do. And the wild thing that happened in Philippians 4:6, it says that God's peace, which passes understanding, will show up. And it did. My circumstances didn't change at all in that moment. But his peace was there. And I've discovered this, man, peace leaks. It leaks. Just like a rusty minute bucket leaks, peace leaks out of your life. And so after a while, I'd feel that peace had kind of just lifted off of me. So I'd go back into the presence of God, again, pray that prayer. And I'll tell you, for me, and this isn't always the way that he does it. For me, I didn't get a long-term answer. I didn't get a, hey, make this decision because this is what you're living with. For me, he just kind of revealed to me what I needed to do that day. And so every day just kind of walked me through it. He walked me through it. And so as he walked me through it, it was one of those things that I was able to walk through a very difficult season of life with the peace of God hanging on to me. And so in this, that one of the things that God does in this hard place is he gives us wisdom for this place. And again, you know, sometimes it's like when we talk about this and, you know, I say endure, your response to me like, Patrick, I don't know what to do. And I get that, I've been there. Now, he says that your loyalty can't be divided. In other words, as we're really seeking his will, we can't let what's easiest for us be the thing that's the determining factor. Well, we can't ask a bunch of different people, and I think counsel is good, but we want to make sure that whoever's given us counsel, that the thing they're sharing with us is that they're endeavoring to give us godly counsel. Now, let me just say this to parents that have adult kids and that kind of thing. If your kids come to you and they're struggling in their marriage and struggling in other areas like that, that our desire should be to give them godly counsel in what's taking place. And so, again, that's, you know, God may use us for that. But our desire when we're the one going through it is to say, God, I don't care who you use or how you do it. I just want to make sure that it's what you want. Not what's easiest, not what sounds best. I've had 8 people talk to me and I like their counsel best because it's not nearly as hard. No. We have to do what he's called us to do. And so God gives us wisdom for this place. Let's look at verse 9 and we'll finish. He said, believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They'll fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. Now, he's not saying, I love the poor and I don't like the rich. What he's talking about is that we have, all of us, no matter where our resources are, our faith has to be in God, has to be in him. Our trust has to be in him. And so he said, God blesses those. So he said, the rich fade away. He said, God blesses those who patiently endure. Everybody say patiently endure. So not everybody in hard places gets blessed. Who gets blessed? Those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, not before, afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you're being tempted, Do not say God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong and never tempts anyone else. So the other thing we have to understand is on the other side of this test, God blesses you. There's something that he does in you. See, part of the thing is I've experienced this in my own life. There's things I've prayed for and wanted God to do, but I wasn't ready for. I've told my kids this, the only thing worse than not getting the job you want is getting the job you want before you're ready for it. Because you may lose it, you know, and it could really take a long time to get that opportunity again. So there's a work that God does. As I've shared with you before, when I first started doing youth ministry, that we were having 30 to 40 kids show up, and then I wanted us to have 60. And so back then, this is years ago, before there was a Wi-Fi internet. I was going to be ornery, but I'm not going to. Anyway, so before it was invented. And so you know, there's things you did. You know, you might have a movie with a message and pizza and that kind of thing, you know, to have kids bring their friends and that kind of stuff. So we did one of those. We had over 60 kids, but it was a nightmare. I was so frustrated because nothing was going right. I got so mad, I went in the other room and just kind of, you know, away from myself and just kind of kicked the wall for me, like, okay, I'm good now. And I went back in there and that kind of thing. And in the middle of this, the Lord picked this as a moment to talk to me. And it was not like, hey, you're doing a good job, I'm really proud of you. It was like, this is why you don't have 60 kids yet. Could you wait? Could you wait? I'm trying to think, you know, about what I'm doing here. But he's just letting me know that I wasn't ready yet. He had to grow me to that place. Now, eventually we got to a place where we had 300-400 kids show up on a Wednesday night. But that didn't happen overnight. It took years to get there. Years, lots of hard places, lots of frustration, lots of disappointment, lots of insecurities that I would walk through, feeling like I wasn't good enough and I didn't measure up, you know, and those kind of things. A lot of those moments like that. And so there's just things that you can't give up on. You've got to endure this hard place. Will you remove me from this? No, there's a work that I have to do in you that I can only do here. And you're going to want to endure it because I got something for you on the other side that you're going to want to stick around for. And so one of the things that happens is one of the reasons why some people have not experienced their dreams is because they've been unwilling to endure. They've been unwilling to suffer. The minute it gets hard, the minute things aren't pleasant, they take off. On the other side of a test is a testimony. And every testimony has this in common. There was a test connected to this. And so for us, we have to be willing to endure that thing that we want is on the other side of it. And man, sometimes it feels like it's forever. That pushing through, that preparation, that it is a forever thing. But there's a work that God's doing in us in that. So number three is this is on the other side of this test. God blesses you. God has something for you. He wants to work in you. That thing you've been praying about, now you're ready for it. Now you're ready for it. And it's going to be so much better because you're ready for it. It won't be a curse to you. It won't be something that you despise now because you didn't realize that, you know, every season has its purpose. Every season has its privilege. Every season has its pain. And then when you get to experience the pain in that season, sometimes the pain is so big, we don't enjoy the privilege of it. But God does a work in us there. And I want to pray over you right now. If you would, just bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I just pray over every life that's here. God, every person that's going through a hard season, I pray, Father, that in this moment that you would help them. I pray that you would help them in this moment. God, let them be encouraged. Don't let them give up. Let them hang on to their faith. If the test that they're in has made their world feel unstable, unsteady, let their feet be planted on your faithfulness, on the fact that, you know, that I don't know what the outcome, or there are things in this situation that are out of my control. I'm dependent upon things other people do. And I don't know them, but I know you, Lord, and you're faithful. So let your faith be planted, your feet be planted there. And the faith that God's given you, based upon his promise for this moment, Watch him grow you. And if you're in a place where you don't know what to do, man, ask him. And it says, ask him in faith, knowing that he is generous. He wants to tell you what to do. He wants to. And make what he wants above everything else, above everything else. And on the other side of this, just know that there's probably some things you've been praying for that you've wondered, why hasn't this happened yet? And the truth of the matter is, maybe there's a possibility you weren't ready. But this test, this unwelcomed test, this unwelcomed hard place, gets you there. Let's just spend a moment with God. You just talk to him about whatever you want to in your life right now, just that silent place that only you and him see what takes place. Just spend a moment with him.